Good morning once again. I'm glad that we are together. And as I have received many comments on the good side of the sermons and the series in which we've been doing, I decided to continue the series. That's kind of the whole point of a series, isn't it? Continue it. This is part three of motivation. And that's one of those words that we know that we've talked about in this series that we need from day to day to make it on our journey. And so you might be thinking to yourself, what else could we talk about regarding motivation? This is a topic that actually could last almost forever. Because as you might be able to put insight, as some of the things that's in this lesson has been shared from many people during my time on this earth of 28 years. And I'm sure there'll be much more as I go along. And one of those things that should motivate us, or would bring us to this motivation, is this. Link truth to beauty. I would submit to you that too often the devil convinces to link truth. Honesty, well, let's see, you know what? I need to resync this. I was wondering why that chart didn't work earlier. So we'll resync it now so y'all can write the notes there. There we go. It's too often the devil convinces us to link truth, doctrine, honesty, purity, and such things to boredom, confinement, and unhappiness. We've talked about that since the beginning of this series. That's exactly what people think many times of Christians. Because all of a sudden we've become in this law, we've come to this thing where truth, doctrine, honesty, and purity has become boring. There's a lot of people that don't want to come to services on Sunday morning because, you know what, it's just so boring. Why is there so many gymnasiums that's been built at congregations around the world? Why is that? Does anyone have an I have one. Because we got to get away from this boring thing. How are we going to get people here? Are we excited about the gospel? Are we excited to be here? What motivated us? What is the motive behind us being here this morning? Is it because someone just absolutely, well, I've got to go because somebody might see that I didn't come. The preacher will be calling tomorrow. I've heard that before. It's not just a concern, my friends, because we're confined in a space. We call that sometimes getting stuck in a rut at some point or another. We become unhappy with the way things are. Well, instead of viewing honesty as a handicap, I want to use that word. Realize that honesty is pure, clean, beautiful, and respectful. David is one that actually, you find him in the Psalms, he learned this very lesson. He learned this lesson about honesty, being pure, clean, beautiful, and respectful. How do I know that? Well, once again, we go to the scriptures, Psalm 19 and verse 8. The commandment of the Lord is pure. How much more simpler could we get than that? He also said in Psalm 119 and verse 18, open my eyes that I may behold wonderful things from thy law. He goes on to say in chapter 119 of Psalm in verse 97, oh, how I love thy law, it is my meditation. Now notice, it's important to notice in that verse that he says, all the day. What does the meditation mean of all the day? It's something that completely consumes him. He's thinking about it constantly. In everything that he does, you can tell that he's thankful that he has something that governs him, something that guides him. You remember Psalm 119, verse 105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. That's something he's talking about right there. I have something that guides me. What about verse 129 of Psalm 119? Thy testimonies are wonderful, therefore my soul observes them. It observes it because they are wonderful. You know, we don't have to go very far, once again, in the New Testament and all of Jesus' teaching, but even that, we go further to that of Galatians. chapter 5, and if you take into consideration what he talks about versus that of the works of the flesh, see, these are things that we need to meditate on. These are things that we need to work towards. Verse 22 and verse 23 and such. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh. He's talking about crucifying the things, the works of the flesh, that's found in verses 19 through 21. And with the affections and lust, he said, verse 25, if we live in the Spirit, let us also do what? Walk in the Spirit. We can go back to that of the definition of love in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. How important is that? Because as we've talked about before in lessons, that if our love for God's will, for God is right, if we have a true love for Him, then everything else will fall into place. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, notice in verse 4 through 8, he says, charity, or love, suffereth long, is kind, envieth not, charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, does not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoices where? In the truth. Exactly what we find in Galatians chapter 5. He says it bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. And he says in verse 8, love never fails. You know, I have that posted up throughout the house. For some reason, she wants to remind me of that. Love never fails. No matter what happens, it never fails. But whether there be prophecy that shall fail, whether there be tongues, they shall cease, whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. How important is it to have love? When we think about the definition of love that God gave it, not what people have done with it in the world today. And we see the beauty there is to be found in actually being honest, pure, noble, diligent, and godly. Following the Scriptures won't turn us into something that is ugly. Find me an example in the Bible where the truth of God turns someone into an ugly person. You won't find it. You won't find it. Because what they did is the truth, they linked to beauty. And beauty is linked to truth. You can't fight that. It depends on what we're putting on in the inside. Following the Scriptures, my friends, will not turn us ugly, but rather God's commandments will transform us into a person of beauty. We admire people throughout the Bible, from the Old Testament to the New, those characters that we find in the New Testament, Hebrews chapter 11, the Hall of Faith. Why do we admire them? Because they let faith move them. Because those people turned out to be absolutely wonderful and beautiful in the Word. I want you to consider fidelity, defined as faithful devotion to duty, to one's obligations or vows. Loyalty, also defined as faithfulness. That's something that we talked about last Sunday morning at the end. Do you remember the last point was to deprogram ourselves? Because people have a different definition in the world of what fidelity means. Different definition of what love is. Different definition of what beauty is. We need to deprogram ourselves. And once again, see the beauty in moral purity. To see the beauty in patience, faithfulness, honesty, self-control, and other such qualities that we find in the fruit of the Spirit of Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. So yes, we need to link truth to beauty. There's some motivation. Our perspective will be much different. We need to have the same thoughts as the psalmist on those things. Out of all the things in the house, we would say is precious. What would you say? I mean, Kenzie's obviously up there top, but right below God's Word. Because what does God's Word do? What does it do? What does it do for us? It sustains us because it has every guide, every answer to every relationship in life. That's the reason why it needs to be there. Because the commandment of the Lord is pure. Are we saying, open my eyes that I may behold wonderful things from thy law? Or are we saying, boring, boring, boring. It is my meditation all the day. Is it really? Is it something I think about? Is there something, when I look at the trees, do I think more than just a beautiful tree? Do I think about God's creation in Romans chapter 1? Does it take our minds to the Scriptures? I hope it does. I hope we think, God created this. For we are without excuse, it says in Romans chapter 1. For things are made evident, as he talked about in Romans chapter 1. The things that are around us. From Genesis, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Does that make us praise God in that? Are we thinking they're wonderful? That our soul observes them? Think about those things. Do we link truth to beauty? Well, let's see what the second thing would be. No one is coming to the rescue. And I know when you first see that, you're thinking, that's a little harsh. Because everybody, in every storybook, in every movie, what happens? Here comes the night. It's one of those movies that Kenzie makes me watch or something. Somebody's coming to the rescue, right? That's the way all those movies turn out. That is, often we put off needed change because we think that someone will come along and rescue us from our bad habits. One day, that person's going to come. There is people that linger and hold on to that concept. People in the world often place their hopes on winning the lottery to solve their problems, and Christians can have the same pipe dreams. I don't need to get control of my spending habits because one day the money will just be there. I don't have to get control of this or that bad habit because somehow it will just go away. It will not just go away. Because we actually see too many people, co-workers, neighbors, relatives, to know better than to naively think that people just naturally grow out of sinful ways of acting or thinking. Does that happen? Naturally, does that happen? Well, I don't find it in the Scriptures where people just naturally grow out of it. I haven't found one example in the Bible where someone just one day woke up and it was over. Because growth isn't going to happen until we put forth the effort. That's what I find in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 5. What does it say? One of the key words there, giving all diligence, it talks about. It says, add to your faith. What does it mean to add? It means I've got to do something now. With my faith, which comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God, Romans 10 and verse 17. Add to your faith virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brother, kindness, love, if these things be in you and abound. They make you neither barren nor unfruitful in knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now I want you to think about that. When you go through that list of 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5, down through verse 8, it's very interesting that it says at the end, after we add to our faith those qualities, what happens, those virtues? It says, if they be in you and abound. What does it take for us to abound in something? Work? Effort? Philippians chapter 2 and verse 12 is another scripture that we have. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 12. The Apostle Paul knew this all too well in his life, in his journeys. He says, wherefore, my beloved, as you have always done what? Obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with what? Fear and trembling. What does it mean to work out your own? Well, we're talking about the individualism here. Work out your own salvation. It means we've got to put forth effort. It means there's something that we need to do for ourselves. I'm not saying that people are not going to be great influences for us, because they are. We need to be a great influence to someone else. But here's a promise. I have yet to find one person that I can help who doesn't want to do what? Help themselves. You ever met people of that? You want to help them. You want to reach out. You want to do as much as you can for them. But that will be all in vain and futile, just about, if they do not want to help themselves. If they push you away. If they don't want it. We find scriptures of that sort. Let's keep that in mind. There are people that are allowing others to get in their... We talked about that in this series, even in the Life Lesson series. That's allowing people to get in their way, to stand between them and God. That's the reason why a lot of people excuse themselves. I don't want to come to services because of this person or because of that person. I don't want to do this because of this. What am I excusing? I have put that person ahead of whom? God. I place that person number one because they're interfering. I'm allowing these emotions to get in my way of God and me serving Him and worshiping Him. We've got to be careful. Here's another one. Debate with your dark side. Here's some scriptures that I have for us. 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 5. We are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God, and we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Well, that's a strong thing, isn't it? Captivating us. What captivates us? What draws us? Jesus said, if I be lifted up, will do what? Will draw all men unto me. Is that true for my life? Is He constantly drawing? We are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. But I buffet my body and make it my slave. 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 27. He's buffeting himself daily. He's exercising his senses to prove that which is good and evil. He's using the word. But do not let immorality or any impurity or greed even be named among you as is proper among saints. Ephesians 5 and verse 3. I want you to think about what Paul is saying. Not only to the Corinthians, but to those at Ephesus, the thought is the same. About what's going on in their lives. He talked about in Romans chapter 7 that there is a constant war that is going on. The physical versus the spiritual. It's kind of, I always picture it as a tug of war. Colossians 3 and verse 2. He says our mind needs to be somewheres. Set your mind, your affections on things above, not on things that are on earth. How important is that? It goes along to the same thing that Jesus mentioned in Matthew chapter 6. Lay up for yourselves treasures where? In heaven. Or neither moth nor rust or corrupt, where thieves break through and steal. For where your treasure is, there may your heart be also. Matthew 6 and verses 19 through 21. Now flee from youthful lust and pursue what? Righteousness. This is Paul talking to Timothy in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 22. Too often we allow negative and sinful thoughts in our own minds to go unchallenged. You see there? And the reason, I'll give one of the reasons I think that this happens is because things in this world have become so accepted. It's just the way it is. And we get complacent. We become lulled into these kind of things of the world. But I would submit just exactly what those scriptures are talking about. We need to take control of our thoughts and challenge any idea that raises itself against God's truth. You know, we have to ask ourselves, is it right? Not on my authority. Do I think that it's right? That's when human reasoning kicks in, and we know that it is not man that walketh to direct his own steps. We know that God's way is better because He said in Isaiah 55 verses 8 and 9 that His thoughts are higher than our thoughts and His ways higher than our ways. So we have to ask ourselves, by the authority of God's word, is it right? Is it just? Is it honest? Is it good? Many times I see ourselves, you see yourself as a trial lawyer who was always building a case for serving God and appreciating His blessings. I kind of gave Kenzie a little bit of that this morning on the way here. I kind of gave her a little. Because every time she'd say something, I'd just come right back. I said, no, what you said earlier was on the way home, she was coming back from Lumberton, Beaumont area this morning. She told me, I said, what time did you go to bed last night? She said, 10:30. Well, later on, she seemed tired. She was yawning. It's a story from our lives. I know y'all are intrigued. And so she said, later on, I said, she was yawning. And I said, well, what time did you go to bed again? She said, oh, it was around 11 or so. No, you said on the phone, 10:30. And we just kept on, you know, irritating each other. That's what we're supposed to do is what I was told. But I want you to think, I told her, I said, this is what a trial lawyer does. You know that. You work for one. It's always building a case because I want to win it. But are we winning the right ones? That's the question I have. Are we building the right case for serving God and appreciating His blessings? There are people that's building a case for themselves. Many of us have seen faithful people lapse into error, and such happens when people no longer challenge wrong ideas and allow such ideas to take root in their lives. That's what happens. What ideas of this world have we challenged lately? We need to start debating with our dark side. Because Paul told those at Rome that it is there. Which one are we giving a case to? Which one are we trying to win? Because my lifestyle fits this better, or because God wants me to live this way? Are we exercising our senses to prove that which is good and evil? Hebrews 5 and verse 14 tells us. Are we proving all things according to the Word of God? Well, let's move on to our next one. Nobody likes this one. Nobody. Welcome problems. I thought about that when I was putting this together, that, you know, every time I get home, it says, welcome. You come home, what happens many times? You have just checked the mail, or your wife has just checked your mail, your spouse has just checked the mail, and there's bills laying on the table. Welcome. Welcome to what? I got to pay bills. I got so many chores to do around the house. We got so many things we got to do. Okay, here's the motivation part. Someone has noted that every problem carries a gift inside it. Have you ever thought of it that way? It's hard to when you got things going on in your life, when things are happening all around you. View problems as exercise for the soul. Because that's really what it is. It's exercise for the soul. Physically, do we like to exercise? No. Because the next day, if you haven't exercised for a while, it hurts. You can barely walk around. But what's happening? See ourselves as mental and spiritual athletes. And problems are merely a tough and hard-fought game. Anybody goes and watch football, you look at what they're doing. I didn't play football. I'm too skinny. But I want you to think about what all that training and things that they do out there. They're training to win. It takes hard work, a lot of running, a lot of push-ups, a lot of exercising to get their muscles, to get them in the right shape. Spiritually, what will we look like? I hope spiritually I look like a whole lot bigger than what I am now, physically. I picture a strong, strong man, not somebody puny as me and Nathan, you know. But I would submit to you that, remember, without problems, there aren't any solutions. Without problems, there are no solutions. Problems give us the chance to apply our Christianity and to test our faith. Who said that? James, didn't he? Let patience have her perfect, what is it? Work. Are we letting patience have its perfect work? Because he's blessed is the one. Blessed when you fall into divers trials, into temptations. Blessed. Happy is that person. And we say, that's the craziest thing I've ever heard. But when we realize what James is saying, there's some substance to it. Well, Peter knew it as well. 1 Peter 1 and verse 6 and 7. In this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials, that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Peter knew this all too well in his life. Is it something that we have come to realize? That yes, even though tested by fire, we may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. The proof of our faith, more precious than gold, distressed by various trials. Well, here's another one. I tell my dad this all the time, especially at my house where I want that channel blocked. Go on a newsfast. I'm not saying news is wrong or anything of that nature, but like I said, I work in a profession where it is depressing, absolutely depressing many times at work, because all I see is the bad things that go on in life. Deal with all the bad things that happen. The last thing I want to see is Charlie Brown frowning over there. But there's something better coming. It is amazing the change in attitude that can happen when we get away from the world's perspective and what the world views as problems. There's something amazing. If we sit there and dwell on it, one writer noted, why should we let some R-rated disc jockey determine what we think? Well, that's a kind of interesting question, isn't it? This doesn't mean withdrawal from the world, where we seclude ourselves in our house and lock ourselves in, that we never leave. That's not what it means to do that sort. But it does mean to remember the following. Number one, you already know the solutions to the world's problems. Do we really? If you're holding a Bible, yes, you do. You know the solutions to the world's problems. You know the solutions to our problems. How many problems will be solved by the simple application of the following verse, Matthew 7 and verse 12? I want you to consider that verse with me for just a moment, Matthew 7 and verse 12. If we'd look at that verse, if we would make the application to it, Matthew 7 and verse 12, what's it say? Therefore, all things whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets. Whatsoever you would that men should do to you. Doesn't mean they're going to do it. That's what we call the what? Golden rule. Boy, sometimes we say it's a hard thing to live by. But you see it in the example of Christ, don't you? And what's it say in Philippians? Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. It's important, isn't it? With that thought in mind, number two, the world will never solve its problems. Man, we wish, don't we? We can save individuals. We can show them the way to salvation, but we can't save the entire planet. First century Christians saved many people, but they could not save the institutions of society. They could not save the Roman Empire eventually, as it did fall, and so did many other ancient institutions. They realized these things. But what did they have? The solutions to the world's problems, as they preached the gospel to every creature. Don't be consumed by the problems. This is a hard thing. Crime, pollution, crowded cities, traffic problems, so on, existed in the ancient world. However, they didn't have the cars that we do today. We can get places within no time. Yet the apostles were only concerned with one consuming goal, that is, spreading the gospel. We talked about this morning in the Bible class, Matthew chapter 28. They realized who is the ultimate authority in all things. They realized who was still in control of all things. The authority All authority has been given to me, Jesus said, in heaven and on earth. He said, go out. He said, to preach. He said, to teach. He said, baptizing them. How important is it to us? Is that something that consumes us today? Remember, our mind is ours to fill with what we want. Whatever we want to fill our mind with, it's up to me. Whatever I want to. Philippians 4 and verse 8, we've hit that verse several times, haven't we? We won't skip over it. Philippians 4 and verse 8. It says, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. That's chapter 3 and verse 8. I'm sorry, I knew that wasn't right. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Now notice verse 9, chapter 4, Philippians. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. That's a promise. It's a promise. Your mind is yours to fill with what you want. So what is it truly what we wanted? What we want? Is it in accordance with 1 Peter 2 and verse 2? Desire ye the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby? Hopefully so. Hopefully that's our desire. And not the being consumed by the things of this world. Because our affections are to be where? On things above. We just saw that. And last but not least, how about this one? Be the change. I've heard that in my life. Be the change. We will probably get frustrated if we stand around waiting for others to change first. If that person... The most effective way to affect change is to actually lead the way. We talked about that in Hand Me Another Brick. Remember that series, that sermon with Nehemiah? He was leading the way. He was doing something for others. And he was doing it in accordance with God's will. That's the most effective way. 1 Corinthians 11 verse 1, what did Paul say? Be imitators of me just as I also am of Christ. Well, he was leading the way, wasn't he? Philippians 2 and verse 15, that you may prove yourselves to be blameless and innocent, children of God, above reproach in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you appear or shine as lights in the world. He was leading the way. 1 Thessalonians 1, verses 7 through 10. So that you became an example to all the believers of Macedonia and Achaia, for the word of God, for the word of the Lord has sounded forth from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith toward God has gone forth, so that we may have no need to say anything. For they themselves report about us what kind of a reception we have with you, and how you turn to God from idols to serve a living and true God, and to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, that is Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. Well, that's something, isn't it? Absolutely. And then 1 Timothy 4 and verse 12. Let no one look down on your youthfulness, but rather in speech, conduct, love, faith, and purity, show yourself an example of those who believe. It's easy to complain, but nothing good happens when we complain. In fact, it just drains us of the motivation that we need. If more people need to be reached with the gospel, then we need to be the change. Start talking to people. If more hospitality needs to be expressed, then be the change. Start having people in our homes. Well, I said that was the last one, but I had another one. Don't overlook small wins. Often we don't realize what we have been accomplishing in our life. The couple that is attending more regularly, the person who commented in class who never did before, are all very important achievements. If we resisted temptation today, then that was a victory. Jesus would remind us, don't forget or dismiss the little things from Matthew chapter 10 and Matthew chapter 25. Don't overlook the small wins. And I had one more. And this is the end, I promise. My dad always hates it when I do that. So if he was here, he'd already be getting on to me. Get up on the right side of the bed. You ever heard of that? You must not got right on. You must not got on the right side of the bed. Or get up on the right side of the head. That's a little bit different spin on it. But instead of dreading a new day, look at all the opportunities that this day will present. There are thousands upon thousands of opportunities. Here's one that we seized this morning. How important was it to us? Another day to accomplish something for God. Another day to share the gospel with friends and strangers. To share it with them from Philippians chapter 1. To have the same attitude that Paul had. The church needs me. Another day, my friends, means another day of profitable labor. Are we being profitable in labor for the Lord? Motivation. There he is smiling. The questions I have, once again, as we've been talking about in this, are we motivated? Are we putting forth effort in the right direction? Are we being the change? Or is it something that we need to start right now? Do we need to be baptized into Christ to arise and walk in newness of life? Do we need to put on the body of Christ to once again be the change? Not waiting. It's about, as Christ said, Paul said in Romans 12 verse 1, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Are we doing that? John 10 and verse 10, I came that they might have life and life more abundantly. Is our life something that's presented to be abundant? I hope so. As you get your song books ready and the song of encouragement, hopefully we have linked this time together as something that's wonderful and beautiful. Truth. Truth. Hopefully we see it through the eyes of David, that we love his law. That is our meditation all the day. My friends, do we need to rescue ourselves from where we are? If so, won't you come as we stand and sing a song that's been selected?